We're going to talk a little bit about the, or maybe a lot about, I guess, it's because it's on the minds of a lot of folks, the heroin epidemic, opioid, that's sort of the other word that you see here talking about that as well. We just hear a story in the news from ABC relating to marijuana laws that may be occurring across the country. And so to get a little bit of a different picture or an understanding of some of this, we've joined this morning with Marva Jones, who is a chemical dependency and mental health therapist. She's in a local private practice joining us this morning. Thank you for spending a part of your time. Appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, this you probably don't open a newspaper without hearing stories or seeing things related to heroin overdoses or drugs. Talk about, from your perspective, what are you seeing more recently, I guess in the last year or so, that maybe is different from your previous years in practice?
Of course, over the past year, there have been increasing amounts of overdoses. In 2015, we had about 60. In 2016, we've had over 120. And if we continue at the rate we are in the year of 2017, we're going to double that number. And so that's very staggering numbers, and it's very startling for people that are working in my profession. And we just want to keep making sure that we're able to get the information out to people, educate people as much as we can, and prevention is very important.
Is this something we see countywide, community to community, different, economic groups? Is it across the board?
It is across the board. That's the one thing about addiction. It does not discriminate. So it touches lives at every economic level, all races, genders. It's crossing every area you can imagine. And in the state of Ohio, as you know, we are leading the nation, unfortunately, in overdoses. So we do have to make sure that we have the services available for the people who are suffering with this disorder.
Why do you think that is, Ohio leading the pack?
That is something that I really am struggling with, why Ohio is leading. I know as far as the addiction in and of itself, we know that there's a very strong genetic predisposition. We know that there are environmental issues. It could be related to possibly people just struggling, trying to make a living in our state. As far as Lorain County specifically, one of the things that I always talk to my clients about is what keeps people sober, in my opinion, is hope. They have to have hope for the future that if they get clean and sober, that their lives are going to improve. And so we have a great deal of responsibility. And when I say we, I mean everybody that's in this county. We need to be working together. The treatment providers need to be working together. The churches need to be a part of the solution. The courts, and I do want to applaud Lorain County for the drug court that they are facilitating, that does allow for different providers to come to the table and to brainstorm and to work together to resolve the issue. And just the people who live in the county, the residents of Lorain County, it's all of our problem. It's not just the treatment providers, or if it's not in your family, it's not you, because it's affecting all of us.
What do you see is the treatment for something like this? How does that really work?
There are a combination of things that need to be happening. I would love to see us have more residential treatment, because I think that would be a better option. But quite often we do have to treat people on an outpatient basis. We have intensive outpatient where people will come 3 to 4 times a week for 3 hours every session. And there's also medication that can go along with that. There's Suboxone, there's Vivitrol shots that clients can receive that will decrease the cravings for them to want to use heroin and other opioids. And so I think it's not just the treatment and teaching coping skills and relapse prevention tools, but also some of the medication that can go along with that can help them stabilize long enough to get the information that's needed for them to move forward in a positive way.
Talking this morning with Marva Jones, a clinical dependency and mental health therapist. You also have a theological background a little bit to that. Tell me how that plays into something. You mentioned hope before. I suppose maybe that goes hand in hand with some spirituality too.
Absolutely. I believe in order for anyone to be healthy that they need to be healthy physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I do believe that if people can see themselves the way that God sees them, that they can love themselves enough to move forward past this problem. And I know that it's a challenge because you've taken a drug that's altered your brain chemistry. And so the memory of what that euphoria was like will always be there. So you have to help them find something that they want more than their next high. That's what it comes down to.
You've been doing this for a number of years, and there was a point where sort of abuse of pharmaceuticals, it wasn't sort of illegal drugs, it was a lot of that.
Absolutely.
Did you sort of see that this was coming, that the people would kind of, for the pain, would have one, you know, prescription, and then when that was no longer needed, they would still be addicted to it, and then they switched to sort of these street drugs as well?
I don't think any of us saw this coming to this magnitude. As far as the use of heroin and now the fentanyl, which is responsible for a lot of the overdoses that are leading to death, I think that we were all surprised. I'm surprised every day, to be honest with you. When I pick up the paper, when I turn on the news, I was listening to the nightly news last night, and there's a gentleman that lives in a place called, it's a small town, Blanchester, Ohio. I'd never heard of that. It's a little village down around Cincinnati. Has three children, or had three children. He had a daughter that passed away in April of last year from an overdose. He lost his son in November, I believe it was, and he has another son who is also addicted to opioids and is currently in treatment. And so to hear that story, this is a place, the population is about 4,200 people. And we have a father who has buried two of his children. And it is sad to watch the struggle of the parents, you know, burying their children, because that's not something that you would anticipate.
Sometimes we hear about so-called gateway drugs.
Yes.
And before we went on here, we heard that ABC News report about marijuana. Marijuana has been in the news statewide, locally in Elyria, back in when the issue was first on the ballot, even once upon a time, in the city of Lorain, as possible sites where operations could be set up. Where do you fall with the efforts, to legalize marijuana? And is it a gateway drug?
I certainly believe that it is a gateway drug. You have to understand that once you take any substance, whether it be you use marijuana or even alcohol, it lowers your inhibitions. So once your inhibitions are lowered, the opportunity for you to say yes to something else is there at a higher level. And especially legalizing it, recreational, what kind of message is that sending to our youth? I believe that's telling them, this is okay. And it isn't okay, because we know that addictions start very young. The people who struggle with addiction usually start around 12 to 15 years old, and then they're struggling most of their life. So when we talk about prevention being, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure, that is very true. When we talk about addiction, you know, these people are ending up either dead or incarcerated. And we often hear people complaining about all the money that's going towards treatment. Well, I would rather pay $10,000 to treat someone suffering from this disorder than to pay $25,000 to $30,000 to incarcerate them for a year.
Where do people go for help? And for people that see you, how do they come to when they see you for a private practice as opposed to maybe something on a public different level? How does all those different resources work for people?
There are private practices that take Medicaid. So I would suggest that if someone is listening today and you need help or you know someone who needs help, call 211. And 211 will give you a list of resources to connect you to any of the treatment providers in the area so that that person can move forward in getting help.
Now, that's the person who's the addict. What about the family or their support system? What advice do you have for them? Because as you mentioned about that father, he probably seems hopeless. You know, you think, well, how could it happen to one child, but two?
Yes. He has connected with a group in his area called Christ Warriors. And so there are certain certain organizations, we have what's called Let's Get Real in Lorain County that helps parents and other relatives that have people who are suffering from the disorder. We also have Solace, which works with parents and families. And then, of course, there's always Al-Anon that people can go to for support as well. And so I certainly encourage the families to get in to those organizations. And they can also call the 211 because sometimes they need support as well. They may want to do individual therapy to work on some of their struggles.
211's a great resource, not only for that, but for other things. And as you mentioned before, sometimes the reason that somebody may be taking these drugs has other issues, whether it may be the mental health issues, something financial, something, you know, I guess within their family as well. So those other resources could help maybe straighten some of those symptoms out too.
Absolutely. So
we appreciate you coming in. Marva Jones, the clinical dependency and mental health therapist. She's in a local private practice. Thank you for spending a bit of your morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.